Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. Delighted that you are with us. And coming up on Saturday, Miami and Florida State, 7 p.m. kickoff, 3 p.m. pregame show. And joining us now on the show from CBS4, Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr. And joining us now on the show from CBS4, the great Mike Cugno. And Mike, thanks for taking the time and welcome to the show. You're on for the first time, I think, ever.
Yeah, first time, but listen, it's like the Christopher Columbus hour when you have Mario Cristobal leading things off, and then you come to me. So all good. The explorers are getting love.
Yeah, there you go. And we might, we'll see about your thoughts on the Seminoles in a moment. Let me ask you this: I want to get to some of the stories that you've done on the players, but first, just your overall thoughts of University of Miami football so far this year, what they've been able to accomplish.
I think it's rare to kind of in this day and age live up to expectations. I think there was so much hype with Cam Ward and all this excitement, and then for him to kind of just surpass what I think everyone expected, and to see how explosive the offense is, how much fun they are to watch each and every week, entertainment value with that team is through the roof. So every Saturday they've become must-watch TV, whether you're a Canes fan or not, because it's either going to be high scoring or come down to the last drive or something. And it's just been fun to watch whether you're a Canes fan or not.
What do you think he has to do to win the Heisman Trophy? Or what do you think has to happen the next 6 weeks for him to put himself in a position to do that?
I think the competition this year is really, really tough. And you look around the nation, you see what Travis Hunter can do at two positions, you see what the running back from Boise State, James, he can do back there. I mean, he's putting up incredible numbers. It's not necessarily a shoe-in that Cam Ward can win the Heisman. But, look, if he's undefeated going into December and he's still putting up these numbers, he's certainly making a good case for himself to be right there in the top two, if not top one. I mean, to watch with college players, you get such inconsistency sometimes, and no matter the position. But one thing you can depend on with Cam Ward is that, A, he's going to be exciting, which the Heisman Trophy is, about. But, B, he's making these winning football plays for you week in and week out. So I think if the Canes are undefeated going into December, he has a good chance as anyone.
Mike, you've done some good features on the University of Miami. Probably a good time to do features. A couple of weeks ago after the Cal game, Don had Mark Fletcher on in the locker room. Fletcher, one of our favorite players. And he said his mom drove all the way from Miami to California to watch him play. And then he ended the interview with, "I love you, Mom. I love you, Mama." But she drove all the way to California. And Fletch is a guy, must be interesting for you because you covered him in high school and now you're able to do feature stories on a guy that went from, to high school American Heritage, now at the University of Miami.
Yeah, Mark is one of my favorite players, I think, high school players I've covered in the last few years, just because he hasn't changed who he is. He was kind of like this, I don't want to say goofy, but kind of goofy kid at American Heritage, where I remember something that stuck out to me was he tried to hurdle a player when a defender when they were playing central, and it did not work out so well for him. And he found that to be hilarious, that it didn't work out. And then, when we got to talk this year, I was like, hey, the hurdling finally paid off, because, of course, he leaps over the pile in Gainesville in the swamp and finds the end zone for one of his first touchdowns of the year. And he remembered that play against Central, that it didn't work out so well and he paid the price, but finally it paid off. So it's little things like that. You kind of get to know these kids down here. Even Xavier Restrepo, we knew him when he was just a little wide receiver from Deerfield Beach and, tearing it up over there. And to see how far those guys have come and to see them, they're grown men now and making me feel old. It's one of the best parts of this job.
Let's go back to stay with Restrepo for a minute. When you look back at his five-year career and he stays on pace, did anybody really think that could happen? I mean, when you look at it, and also the follow-up on that is, how smart was he to stick around for a fifth year?
Yeah, no, he's an incredibly smart kid. But you know what I said about Cam Ward, where consistency in college is, I think, hard to find? Well, that's another example with Restrepo. I mean, he is about as consistent of a wide receiver as you can find. Really smart, just a really smart kid. And that doesn't surprise me. I mean, his dream was to be a Miami Hurricane. I know his story is well told, where he could have gotten the Ivy League. He had the offers. I remember him telling me as a high school kid, he goes, look, I know when I graduate college, if I go to Ivy League, I'm going to make six figures right out the door. But being a Hurricane was something that was special to him. So he got to live out his dream, and it paid off in more ways than one. It's kind of remarkable to see Miami's journey and to see a kid who's been here throughout. Because honestly, in this day and age of kids finding NIL money somewhere else or transferring somewhere else, you know, his good buddy Tyler Van Dyke leaves, you know, it's almost like maybe from the outside, like, oh, I'm surprised he didn't follow, you know, his old roommate. But he sticks around, and look where he's at now. Him and Mike Irvin look like best of buddies on the sidelines. And those two getting mentioned in the same breath every week for a guy like Xavier Restrepo, that's a dream come true.
Let's see. 2 years ago, the Heat make a run. University of Miami makes a run in the Final Four. Last year, the Panthers win it all. University of Miami's ranked sixth in the country right now. That is
I'm dying. I can't come up for breath, man. This town's keeping us so busy.
Yeah, it's got to be good, right? I mean, and they're giving you good stories.
No, it's great. It's great. And this is what you get into this business for these kind of runs, these kind of stories. And you know what? It's just a Hurricanes football team. It's just their time. I remember how special 2017 was up until really. I mean, even after the Pitt game, but just to kind of see the fan base experience Charlotte in the ACC title game for the first time, that was really cool. You know, they hadn't been there before, and they went up, obviously, against a really good Clemson team that was just kind of like this powerhouse program at the time. And, you know, they still are, but they ran into a buzzsaw up there against Clemson. But to experience that was new for the program, and I think this year kind of has a little bit of that magical feel, maybe more so because I don't know. I think the quarterback play is just so special, and you got that guy back there. You have a chance to win any football game you line up and play and strap it up for. So it's really cool to see Canes fans feeling confident each and every Saturday again.
Let's go also to Jacoby George, a local young man who has. You know, had almost 900 yards last year and seems to be getting a touchdown. He's got four touchdowns so far on the season, so almost one every other game. But the importance that he brings to this Miami offense.
Well, it's the explosiveness that I think this Miami offense brings. You don't have to look too far down the line to find Jacoby George. It seems like, I mean, you can go back to the Florida game. Once Cam Ward starts to scramble, it seems like him and George kind of have this magnetic pull towards one another where, hey, I'm going to be open in the back of the end zone. Just throw it there. I'll go up and get it, and I'll toe tap. And that's what's fun about this team. Look, one of the best things I thought about what we saw Saturday against Louisville was if they wanted to go 14-play drive and really eat up a lot of clock, they can do that. And then they come back, and, you know, we want to score real quick in like four or five plays. They can do that too. And Jacoby George is part of the reason why they can do that, because he's about as explosive as it gets on that offense.
All right, let's break this down. Florida State comes in. Nobody thought they'd be 1-6. What are your thoughts about this matchup on Saturday?
Don't take them lightly, because yeah. I think defensively they've found ways to muddy things up. I think it's going to be hard for them to keep up with Miami scoring. If Miami can start to score at will, like they looked like at Louisville, and then, of course, that second half against Cal, I don't think FSU really has a chance. But don't take them lightly, just because I think on defense they still have a lot of talent, and that's kind of what they were hanging their hat on coming into the season. I think they've found it a little bit in spurts. They've been struggling to just find footing all year, but I think a lot of that goes back to their quarterback play. You know, they're now on their third QB of the season, and that's never what you want 6-7 games in. They have found no consistency offensively. They haven't scored 20 points on U.S. soil this year. It's been tough. If Miami, I mean, it just seems like one of those games. If Miami scores 24, 23 points, I'm not sure FSU can even hang with that.
Can you find a reason, and is this something that you got to look for in college football these days, how Florida State has got one win at this time of the season and coming off of an undefeated regular season last year? And in my opinion, if the quarterback didn't get hurt, they should have been playing or could have been playing for the national championship. And to go from that high to this low, what's the explanation?
It's tough because you think, like, okay, they were that good last year. What happened? Well, I mean, you do lose a lot of guys who went to the NFL for sure. So a lot of your starters are gone. And some of those guys, you know, were products of NIL and the portal. And if you miss on those guys, you can see what a program can look like. So, you know, I think Nick Saban, if I'm not mistaken, called it a microwave program. Those are the types of things that you want to avoid in this day and age. You still have to build out through recruiting and developing your young talent, young guys. I mean, look at Miami, Reuben Bain, he's a sophomore and he's this important to the team. I just don't think you can do it completely through the portal. Quarterback, yes, that means a whole lot, but in terms of team football, you just can't do it all through the portal. There has to still be some of that old school development, having guys here 2, 3, 4 years. And I'm just not sure if Florida State's there.
Hey, Mike, you thought covering the Panthers, going from Fort Lauderdale or from Miami to Edmonton was interesting.
Yeah.
You know, this could happen. I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but it's going to happen for somebody. Somebody's playing in either the Fiesta Bowl, Rose Bowl, mm-hmm. Peach Bowl, or Sugar Bowl, and then that on January 1st, and then a week later, playing in either the Orange Bowl or the Cotton Bowl. So, it could be the University of Miami. You could play the quarterfinals or bowl games, and the semifinals or bowl games.
Listen, as long as I can run my American Airlines mileage card through that to book the tickets, I'm okay. It doesn't matter. To get me there, it'll be fine as long as I can get the miles on the work trip as well. You know, that's just kind of but isn't that cool though? I mean, you get to experience some of these big cities towards the end of the year in multiple weeks. I mean, I think I'm really excited to see what this 12-team playoff looks like, especially when you find maybe some of these teams who are getting red hot towards the end of the year that end up like 10th or 9th in the country and feel like they can take on anyone. And then they win a couple games and all of a sudden they're in the mix in the semifinal game. I mean, the travel, I think it's a part of it. When maybe as the ACC expands, teams like Miami and Florida State get conditioned for it, having to travel out to California a time or two a season. Maybe that ends up building some scar tissue there in terms of travel, but no, I think it's cool.
When you're looking at the picture right now, give me your final four teams.
Oh, man.
There's a little bit of pressure for you.
Yeah, Oregon, Georgia, Miami, and snuck it in there. And I'm putting Miami there in that three, I think in that 2-4 game, because I think that's an Orange Bowl. I think that's the Orange Bowl game.
I'll take
maybe
it.
Texas. Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, it had Texas. I think if Texas ends up staying at one, I think they probably get the route of the Cotton Bowl, and then Miami ends up being the road team at Hard Rock Stadium in the Orange Bowl as a 3 or 4, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, that could have broken that way where Miami actually stays home, but they're the road team. But who cares at that point? I got those three: Miami, Georgia, and I was like, you know what? I'll put Ohio State in there. And talk about kids that we got to cover down here: Jeremiah Smith. Oh boy!
Oh boy! How about that? My goodness! If he makes any more one-handed catches, he might get the Heisman Trophy.
He's a freak. Yeah, he'll be in New York one day.
What do you think? What do you think the national view of Miami is now that they're back into the top 10?
I'm going to say the national view at the moment is that they're getting lucky just because we've had some of these controversial calls. I mean, let's be honest. Right. It's like if you're watching these games and on Twitter at the same time, it's not exactly like there is the actual respect for Cam Ward and what the offense can do. No doubt about that. When you have guys like Patrick Mahomes tweeting about you and you have the people like players in the NFL doing the Cam Ward celebration after touchdowns, after interceptions, you are definitely making a positive impact. But I'm wondering if people are not fully respecting them yet just because of some of these close plays and close calls in particular at the end of the games. And you can find one in each of the last three. So I'm not sure if the perception is where maybe Miami fans want it to be nationally, but all you have to do is keep winning and that'll take care of itself.
You know, go ahead, Joe.
No, I was going to say, I agree. I think, you know, I think there's a certain perception. I have a question, Don, about, oh, they got this call and that, they got that call. And I want to say, where have you people been for the last 20 years?
Right. Those have consistently seemed to have gone the other way. To everyone who complains about the calls, I'm like, when you watch them, I'm like, they're, for the most part, seems like they've been the right calls that have been made. So I'll just say that.
When you're looking at the ACC, and of course it's the consensus is it's Miami and Clemson that are going to end up in the championship game. Who's your 3 and 4 in this model in the ACC? Who do you think is 3 and 4 right now?
I love SMU. I've been a big fan of Rhett Lashley since he's been down here. I think the offense as he schemes up is a lot of fun. Also, it feels like Miami West, right? Because there's a lot of old Hurricanes on that team. So SMU, certainly a fun one. Louisville, I honestly was not sure what to expect. They've faced some tough teams. They're a good team as well. So I don't discredit what they're doing. I don't know. 4, man, I'm not sure on who 4 is. I would go definitely top 3, Miami, Clemson, SMU, but 4, I'm not exactly sure if there's like a clear cut.
Well, we got to see. Clemson's got to deal with they're going to play Louisville, Virginia Tech, and Pittsburgh. So they're 5-0. They could trip up in one of those games. I think they got to go to Virginia Tech.
I'd have to look at the schedule, but no, Pitt's up there. Duke. That's the other one. See, there's a couple of teams where you can kind of bunch them up together. Obviously, Duke's going to be a handful in a couple of weeks for Miami as well. So that's why I kind of – the only thing about some of those teams is, like, I look at Duke and I don't see the offense there. But where I see Miami and even bringing SMU, I think they can kind of score with anybody. So if it comes in a shootout and, you know, you need points, I like Miami and SMU.
All right, Mike. Appreciate your perspective. Thank you for joining our show. I hope Hawk doesn't get mad, but I stole you for one night.
Well, just tell him you got me to eat some weird food or something, and then he'll have like a whole flip, and he'll be so pissed.
Yeah, we're plotting milkshakes. We're plotting where to get a milkshake.
Tell him we had Shamrock Shakes or something, and he'll lose his mind.
There you go. All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. See you at the UM.
Yep. See you guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Mike Cugno joining us. Don and I will come back. We'll have a little breakdown segment, then Old Blue will join us as we lead into his show. Man, alive. Don and I were at the University of Miami today, and I had to rush to the studio because I was on Pharrell's show, which I had to get to with Don in the next segment. But in order to get to Pharrell's show, I had to make my way through the Palmetto Expressway and I-75, and what a mess out there. Thankfully, I was in an XT4, which is a driver's pleaser from Williamson Cadillac. And the XT4, that will tackle any task anywhere, including the Palmetto Expressway and 75 in rush hour traffic, because every now and then you got to go this way, you got to go that way. So whether it's grocery shopping or trying to beat a deadline during your daily commute, the XT4 is going to meet a wide array of needs and desires. The XT4 delivers the wow factor. It's turbocharged. I needed that. Has great acceleration. I needed that. It has fuel efficiency. I needed that. And it surpasses all expectations while it being a very quiet, smooth drive. And believe me, when you're surrounded on the Palmetto, you want quiet and you want smooth. Cadillac always delivers. And you know who else always delivers? Ed Williamson and Williamson Cadillac. They always deliver. They deliver with the customer service. And if you want to experience that customer service, I'm going to recommend Williamson Cadillac for you. Easy to find, Williamson Cadillac, right off the Palmetto Expressway, located on US 1 just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Larry Bluestein will join us in the next segment. Don, I mentioned I was on with our good friend Scott Farrell
on Coast
to Coast. Yeah, he's wild. It was fun. He said hello.
Well, I wish I could be on with him. He's like going on a roller coaster ride, man, without having to buy a ticket.
Yeah, or without a seatbelt.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. He's great.
Miami and Florida State. Here are a couple of things I wrote down. As it's only Monday, so we're just kind of scratching the surface here. And you played in this game. You were the captain of your team in this game. Probably never played Florida State with a record like this. But as Nick Saban would say, don't take the rat poison. That would be number one. And I would say, don't give them the ball. They've only taken the ball away three times this year, so. They've been around the ball. You know, sometimes turnovers are funny. Sometimes you get them in bushels. Sometimes you don't get them at all. But you don't want to give them a chance to feel like they're going to get a bunch of them. So stay away from the takeaway turnovers. Their special teams, their punter is averaging 49 yards a punt. And the reason I bring it up is because that changes the field position. So that can affect the way Norvell's going to call a game. Right, just punt the ball away. I'll pin Miami back. And then the third thing would be mindset, Miami's mindset. We don't know where Florida State is, but you never know when their mind, body, and spirit is right. So Miami's got to have the right mindset. They got to pretend they're 6-1, that the Noles are 6-1, not 1-6.
And Miami has to look at them that way too, Joe. Miami's got to approach this that they are 6-1. And that they are the same team that is beating Miami last year, the year before, and the year before that. And, you know, there's enough guys on this football team, players on this team that are old enough to understand what a rivalry game is. You know, you've got Jalen Rivers has played in this game. This will be his fourth or fifth time that he's played in it. And he's a guy that's from up in Jacksonville, and he knows what it'd be like to live with if, you know, he goes 4 years in a row without beating Florida State. So, you know, they're going to have people, and McCoy's from up that way. And all these guys that are especially from Central and North Florida and in the Georgia area, they're going to have to live with it as bad as the people are in Miami, who are the
Dade and Broward and Palm Beach County guys. And, you know, that's what makes the rivalry so special. And you go down the player list here and you look at the center from Florida State is Maurice Smith. I mean, he's a Miami, Florida guy. You know, you go down and you look at the defense. They've got a couple Florida guys there. You've got Portiers from Coconut Grove, the wide receiver. And, you know, you've got guys from St. Petersburg. And a lot of these guys have either been teammates or they've played against each other. And I think that's the thing that makes the rivalry so special is that you've got a long history of dealing with each other. And this game, you know, for Miami, at least this year, I thought in the preseason it would be this way. But, you know, in the preseason, everybody was thinking that this game was going to have something to do positively for the ACC championship, but maybe even a national championship. You know, Florida State coming off of the undefeated regular season last year and then, you know, getting slammed in the bowl game. And a lot of that, in my opinion, wasn't their fault. You know, they lost a quarterback and a lot of the guys decided that we don't have a chance to win the championship. I'm not going to play and put them in a bad spot against the University of Georgia. But you cannot let down your guard ever in a game like this. And, you know, you and I spent time with Coach Cristobal today and you can tell he's not letting down his guard.
Before we go to the break and bring Blue in, and we got to get to a break here in a minute, but I did want to mention Miami has a new president, Joe Echevarria. He is a great sports fan. He understands the value of athletics and academics, but understands the value of athletics. It was great in the locker room. Coach Cristobal gave him the game ball, and I'm not sure I've ever seen a recipient of a game ball happier than Joe Echevarria, the new president of the University of Miami. And I think it's such a perfect fit for the university because a lot of things are going on in college athletics that need the right kind of leadership, somebody that sees the big picture like he does.
You know, my personal opinion is that, you know, and it's the same thing with our head coach, Mario Cristobal. If you have an opportunity to give a family member, somebody that was raised in your university and raised in your environment, an opportunity to lead, I think that you have to do that. And it's very simple. You know, for them, it is different. It's not just a job. It's your family business. And it's no different, in my opinion, for Coach Cristobal coming home and you see how much energy he puts into it. And President Echevarria, you know, this is his home. You know, he's came down here from New York at 18 years old and put in his time here and went on to have a very, very successful career and was a successful graduate and was a diehard, has been a diehard Miami fan his entire life. And, you know, you give him the opportunity, which he has earned and earned outright to make this place something special again, and as far as athletics goes, and he's taken that under his wing, and he's going to make sure that happens. But he's also going to take care of this university, and I'm excited about it. I think it was a great decision, and I really think it was the best decision.
Yeah, I think it was a great decision as well, and I think it's going to pay big dividends for the University of Miami. And we saw the commissioner on Saturday. When we were at the game, the commissioner of the ACC, and about the first thing out of his mouth was he was thrilled that Joe Echevarria is the president of the University of Miami because he knows that Joe Echevarria is going to help him with that conference one way or the other because Miami will be competitive. All right, when we come back, we'll talk with Larry Bluestein. Old Blue is coming up next right here on the show.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, Joe Zagacki, Don Bailey Jr., Larry Bluestein is with us, the host of High School Sports, coming up. And Trevor Harris is our producer. And during the commercial, Trevor said to he reminded me, Joe, get out at 55 because we have the high school sports show coming up. I said, but we have the host of the high school sports show. What difference does it make if we go over? How you doing, Blue?
I'm doing good, Joe. Thanks so much for having us on. Good lead in for the. It's a good lead in for our show. We'll keep a lot of your audience, which is good.
Well, you got pushed back a little bit here tonight. Hey, Miami and Florida State on Saturday. From the Miami perspective, well, I guess from both teams' perspective, what does this game mean to recruiting?
Oh, obviously, this is a, you know, I'm asked that question about basically every other game, right, like USF or Florida. But since Miami and FSU play every year, you know, it's a whole different story because there's a lot of kids who pretty much hang in the balance between two schools. It is one of those rivalries. And you know, I hate to sound cliche-ish, you know, like when you look at the Red River Showdown or any of these other games, the records don't matter because these guys go at it. They know each other. They play with and against each other. And obviously, you know, they've had some games in the past where one team or another was a heavy favorite and it didn't work out. So from a recruiting standpoint, a lot of kids are going to be there. Probably a record number of recruits are going to be there because, and a lot of them will probably be recruited by both schools. And that's a great thing. It's like when Miami went to Florida to open up the season, there were a whole bunch of Florida recruits, but a lot of them also either were committed to Miami or, you know, also keeping Miami in the spotlight. So, yeah, to answer your question, this is huge because of the fact that they are a true rival and they play every year.
Hey, Blue, when you think of this rivalry, you've watched it as long as I have, if not longer. And what do you think are some of the most important things about this rivalry and why people appreciate it so much?
Well, Don, because nothing is really predictable. You know, you go in looking back in 88, Miami, or 87 rather. No, it was 88. When Miami played, they were the number six ranked team in the nation, and Florida State was one. And they were favored by 6 points in the Orange Bowl, and Miami ended up winning 31-0. And, you know, you take a look at games like that. I mean, I remember also, you know, back in the 70s, you know, when Miami was a huge favorite back in 1974 and FSU came down and beat Miami 34-8. So there's, if anything, and then even Bobby Bowden's first year back in 76, Miami won 47-0. In fact, they won three straight, and then all of a sudden Bobby Bowden kind of put it together and FSU won three out of the next four. So, like I said, the only thing that's consistent is nothing. I mean, because these games, they've gone in streaks. If you remember when Miami was on probation and they went down, they lost seven in a row. Then they came back and won four. And now they're, I believe, on a three-game losing streak to Florida State.
So, Blue, I remember one where Florida State came down. I think that was 73 or 74, and they hadn't won a game. I think they were coming out of there. Was it Daryl Mudra, Larry Jones,
a guy named
Jeff Leggett from Northern High School.
Northern High School, right.
Scored the winning touchdown. It's 21-14.
Yeah, that's a pretty good game itself. And, yeah, Jeff Leggett, those were the days that Florida State, you know, they between them and Florida, they would get a lot of Carl Gables kids, and they would get, you know, a lot of kids from South Florida, and they do really well. But, yeah, I remember Jeff Leggett, from Miami, New Orleans. That was back in the day, and it was a close game. I believe it might have been 71 or two, right? Because
it was closer to 74.
Oh, okay. So, because the 74 game, I remember because Florida State, Miami was a favorite, and Florida State came down to the Orange Bowl and beat them by like four touchdowns.
Hey, Blue, you know, I'm looking at Florida State's depth chart on defense, and it used to be just stacked full of guys from the state of Florida and maybe a little bit of South Georgia, but now I'm looking and seeing Tennessee, Kansas, Louisiana. You know, I even see a Key West. I mean, well, I understand that's in Florida, but Duncanville, Texas, Austin, Texas. It seems that the programs, and Miami included, that you've really got to go national in the sense of to fill out your roster these days versus you can just make a living in the state of Florida.
Yeah, well, welcome to the portal era, Don, because that's the way it is. If you watch games of any type on TV, whether it be Kansas or Boston College, every other kid that they makes a play, they go, well, last year he was at Syracuse, or last year. Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening in the portal. And, you know, I was asked, I was on a show last week talking about this very rivalry. And, you know, somebody was asking me, well, how does Florida State go 13-0 and now they're 1-6? And the answer is, and the difference between what Miami's doing in Florida State. Now, over the last 3 years, Florida State probably hit on the portal as well as anybody. I mean, they got some really big time kids. You know, they went out and got a quarterback, and they got two running backs and two defensive backs and a bunch of linebackers that all hit. But what they didn't do is hit on their recruiting. And that's the one thing that Miami's so far advanced, even though, yeah, they got a defensive line. It's all, you know, all through the portal, and they got a great quarterback and running back and a couple of receivers. But look, it's behind them. There are big time kids. In fact, 22 kids that are true freshmen have seen some type of playing this year. And that's and including O.J. Frederick, who started from day one. So that's the big difference. Miami, although they got themselves some really, really good kids in the portal, they've got some backups who are quality and ready to pretty much step in and take their, you know, take their place at any time. You know, obviously a Cam Ward doesn't come around in many generations. So, you know, even though you still have, you know, a couple of kids, they got Luke Nickel coming in for next year. They have Emery, who's, I think, a really, really good quarterback. So, and what they did, Don, is Miami has recruited well on top of the portal. Florida State hasn't recruited well.
Blue, what does next year's high school recruiting, or I guess this year, whatever we would call it, 2025 high school recruiting look like for Miami?
Well, you know, they've done really well. And the great thing about it is the fact that you've got kids who are still hanging on the balance. And, you know, and that's why I'm saying, you know, at any time, a lot of these kids can, you know, can switch and change. But, you know, you look at some of the guys that they have, the Hilton Stubbs kid coming from Mandarin, who I think is a five-star type of kid. I'm not a big star guy, but this is one of those kids who, you know, he was originally committed to USC, but then I kept seeing him during the spring every time I would go down to see Miami, and I kind of knew that he would kind of, you know, maybe switch sooner or later. Gerard Pringle, it's a running back kid out of Armwood. This kid's a big time kid, and you know, here and I even told Mario Cristobal, I had the kid on our show, and what he said is the reason why he chose Miami is because it felt like a home. And he says he was there on a recruiting visit at 11 o'clock, and he was going to get some ice cream. And, oh, a certain head coach went with him, which he thought was just amazing. And that was one of the things that he said, listen, it's a true family. You have Joshua Moore, who just flipped from the University of Florida out of West Broward. This kid's a big-time kid. You know, he's a 6'4", 210-pound kid that here's a guy, too, you know, when they're bigger. And Jonathan Vilma once told me, you know, his biggest adjustment when he came out of high school was to learn how to tackle, because when he was in high school, all he had to do was push the kids down, and that's the way he played. Well, Joshua Moore is a guy who easily, you know, is one of the top kids in the state. And what he does the best right now is he blocks and he runs patterns. So he gets into the next level, and he's already ready for the, you know, ready for action. So you look at him, Bryce Fitzgerald's a big-time kid out of Columbus High School. He's a guy that can play multiple positions. He's a safety. He's a corner. He's a wide receiver, outstanding player. One of the other kids that, you know, I've been looking at is Gavin Nix. You know, he originally started, you know, at Lake Highland Prep in Orlando, went to IMG Academy. He'll be down here next week, you know, for a visit. Know the family really well. I've run into a lot of those kids, but he's a linebacker. He's about 225, 230 pounds. You know, Chaminade also. Chris Ewald is a defensive back. You know, still a work in progress. He's got to get a little bit tougher, and he's learning. But here's a kid as a sophomore committed to Michigan. And then he decommitted, and Miami got him. And his teammate, I think, is going to be one of the big surprises in the class. Dante Simpson Jr., 6'5", 315 pounds, a defensive tackle, big – you know, he's a kid that obviously, Joe, you know, is a big time kid, and all he needs to do is just, you know, get some reps, you know, at the next level. And the two guys that I think are going to really come out of this class and be big time are Ezekiel Marsland. We have him on our show tonight, linebacker out of Miami Central. I mean, the other night in the game against New Orleans, he had 4 sacks, and he was a beast. And he's played like that all, you know, all season long. And another guy who I think is going to really turn things up here is a quarterback by the name of Luke Nickel. He's from Milton, Georgia, the number 3 team in the country. He's played down here 2 years in a row to start the season, last year against Western, this year against American Heritage. He's just and I've seen him during the offseason too. I mean, this is a, you know, not the biggest guy, but he's still around the 6'2" range, but he throws the ball extremely well. So Miami's got some really, really good talent. And, you know, the kid S.J. Alafalu from Bishop Gorman High School, big 6'2", 6'3" lineman who they regard a lot like Mauanoa. So, yeah, they got some good dudes, but they're still – working on some flips. And if they could get a couple of these flips, guys, you know, I mean, including probably the number one player in the state, a kid that's knows this school and the family very well, by the name of Pickett, DJ Pickett from Zephyr Hills. He's a commitment to LSU right now. But you never know. He spent a lot of time, you know, visiting his cousin and his uncle. And obviously his brother's going to be really, really good, too. He's a junior. But Miami guys really have some tremendous athletes coming. And, you know, right now they're looking hopefully to flip Ben Hanks Jr. You know, he's a Florida legacy. But that doesn't always mean a lot.
Blue, when you're looking at the situation in Florida, you know, they started off with a struggle and still don't look like they're going to do what the Florida people want them to do. How is that going to affect recruiting in the state if Florida and Florida State are both having an off year?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. But here's the thing about Florida, too, Don. A lot of people said, look at their schedule, it's crazy. But let's keep in mind, they've won 3 out of the last 4 and could have beaten Tennessee. So they could have been on a 4-game winning streak, you know, with a week off before Georgia. So they have talent. I mean, no, DJ Lagway probably shouldn't be playing right now, but he is because of the injury. But Florida State's the one school that Miami's really trying to unseat kids from. And obviously Florida, with the flip by Joshua Moore and hopefully with Ben Hanks, you know, could work in Miami's favor. So Miami just keeps winning, and that's going to work everything out. Obviously, you know, there's all these naysayers around the country who continue to pound Miami and say, oh, they're not this good and they're soft 7-0. They're 7-0. You know what? I don't care what you say. They're 7-0. Somebody in Dubuque doesn't care if they're winning games close. They're winning. And then, you know, it's a lot better to be, you know, 7-0 than 3-4 after 7 games.
All right. We got to get you to your show. Okay. Last question for you. Chaminade beat St. Thomas a couple weeks ago, right? They haven't played in 40 years.
43 years.
43 years. Actually, the last time they played was 1 year after I left high school. High school.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I think, you know, Chaminade's had a lot of injuries, you know, and they lost 3 quarterbacks. And against St. Thomas, they ran the Wildcat, and they ran it with 3 different running backs. And right now, I think Chaminade's the best team in the state. I think they would beat IMG. They're just so well coached. Damian Jones has done such a great job. This is his best coaching job by far. They lost 7 Power 4 kids last year. Yeah. You know, their quarterback from last year, CJ, is actually playing at NC State now. So, I think this is his best coaching job. Obviously, St. Thomas, they've won 5 straight state championships. Most likely, it's going to be again, too.
All right, Blue, you want to promote your show here coming up in like a minute or two?
Yeah, well, Hurricane fans, you want to stay around. About 8:35, we're going to have Ezekiel Marsland, who we just talked about from Miami Central. Also, you know, coming up, Mike Cuno is going to come up about 9:25. We'll talk about the Nat Moore Trophy, which is always an outstanding deal. But, it's going to be a good show. Adam Lichtenstein from the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel will be on, talk about the FSU game this week. So please stand by, and I appreciate you guys, and have a good one.
All right, Blue, great show coming up. Busy night for Cuno, huh? How about that? All right, Don, We've got Florida State coming up. We had a whole week to prepare, though. You know, we have a Monday night show here tonight. We have a lot of time to dive into Florida State. And I think they're going to go with Brock Glenn as the quarterback. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see this other guy, Kromann Hoke.
I'm waiting on you to pronounce his name so I can learn how to do it.
Yeah, problem is it's my handwriting. I can't read my own handwriting.
No one can, Joe.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll see you on the practice field. We got Old Blue coming up next. Thanks very much for having me today.
Have a good evening.
All right, that's Don Bailey. Stay tuned. Larry Bluestein High School Show coming up next here on QAM.